Let's pray as we look at Isaiah. Gracious Lord, we pray that in this dark night you would shine your light in our hearts, that we would hear your words and be glad by them. And we thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, that message that we've heard from Isaiah came to a people who were intimately familiar with darkness. Indeed, the whole history of Israel is one that's marked by suffering and darkness. A few generations after God promised to make a great nation out of Israel, out of Abraham, the people found themselves trapped in Egypt as slaves for 400 years. And even after they got out of Egypt, they had to spend 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And they found when they made it into the promised land that even there they couldn't escape the darkness. For as their history shows us, the kings of Israel often abused their power. And so the nation was quickly divided and families and tribes were torn apart. So by Isaiah's time, the people of Israel and the people of Judah were suffering. They were suffering at the hands of great superpowers, stronger nations than them who had harassed them for generations. The people in Isaiah's day knew the yoke of oppression, the horrors of conflict and war. Theirs was a world full of darkness and despair. And we might look around at our world and say, well, not much has changed. There's still great conflict in lots of parts of our world. And even in places which seem to be at peace, we see great darkness. Even as we've seen this week in small, quiet, rural towns, in primary schools, great darkness is there. Indeed, I wasn't surprised this week when I heard someone confess that they now start reading the newspaper from about page 6 because they just can't cope with the stories that they read on the front page anymore. In fact, actually what they said is they start at the sports page and read backwards, and when they hit page 6 they stop. But we don't even have to look that far. We don't even have to pick up our newspapers to be reminded that there's great darkness in our world. We've seen that in our church community, as this week we farewelled a loved family member. We've walked together through the pain and the loss. And I know for some in our community, this Paul's funeral on Wednesday was actually the second or third in a fortnight. Throughout this year, we've known the suffering of terrible illness, of losses of jobs and other difficulties. We've been familiar with darkness. And while it might not be deep darkness, throughout this year there's been that murkiness of the building project as we face setback and setback after setback and other challenges. But not only is there darkness in the world around us, as we get to the end of the year and we look back on all it's been, hopefully we see lots of good things and things we can be proud of, but we're easily reminded that even within us there is darkness. As we think of resolutions that we failed to keep, promises that we've broken, words that we might have spoken in anger, actions that we wish we could now take back. It's easy to become filled with guilt and despair, with depression and anxiety, to the point that our world looks very dark indeed. And even for some, Christmas time that we come to celebrate now can be a time of darkness, as we're reminded of broken relationships, divided or just distant families. For some, it's a time of loneliness and pain. So when we're faced with tragedy after tragedy, of difficulty after difficulty, we can certainly feel that we're walking in darkness, that more than that, as Isaiah says, we are people who live in a land of deep darkness. And so we might call out and say, well, where are you, God? Where are you in this dark place? It's a question that the people of Israel asked. It's a question that we can just as rightly ask today. But the great news, as Isaiah brings to us, is that God promises to do something. And as we read in verse 6, he promises to do something radical and to send us a son, to give us a child. And it's certainly true that children light up our lives, that they can brighten a room. I know that our boys, Micah and Joshua, light up almost any room they walk into. And that's usually because they love playing with light switches and love turning them off and on again. But this child will do more than just lighten up one room, do more than just touch a few lives. For Isaiah says, this child will light up the world. He's already told us in chapter 7 that this is no ordinary child, for his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. And I love the way that John starts his gospel, not with the usual nativity scene, but looking back between behind the earthly things to the eternal. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. John tells us that Jesus is the child that was promised right back in Isaiah. That he is God with us, God entering into our world. For God does not just speak comforting words, God takes action. God enters into the darkness and brings great light. He lights up our entire world. And Isaiah fleshes out more the ways that Jesus will bring light when he came. He says, not only will he be named Emmanuel, God with us, but he will also take the name Wonderful Counselor, reminding us that God brings us great comfort, that God brings us healing in the midst of our pain and our suffering. That God's answer is to bring light and life into all the places where we hurt. And of course, in the original Hebrew, that word counselor could otherwise be translated strategist or planner. You know, that this was God's master plan to overcome the darkness, to send his son. So we're reminded that God is in control of all things. Not only will we have the name Wonderful Counselor, he'll be called Mighty God. Reminded that that small child, that babe that is given to us, the babe in a manger, is filled with all power and authority. He's able to take action. He's able to turn back the darkness and to bring light. For he's not just a small babe, an innocent child. He's the Mighty God. And he's also the Everlasting Father. We're reminded in our darkness that God loves us as a father loves his children. That God's love will never abandon us or forsake us. That he is there with us in all our circumstances and situations. That his love will go on and on and on. And along with all this, we're told Jesus is the Prince of Peace. That he comes to conquer the darkness, to vanquish it. He comes out with all the might of heaven against the darkness, and he overcomes it, and he brings peace where we might experience conflict and despair. Indeed, it's not just peace that he brings, but shalom, that deep, deep abiding peace. That's the end of all conflict, all animosity, the end of all broken relationships. Jesus comes as the Prince of Peace into our dark world to bring restored relationships with one another and with God. And the great news is that this is a light that will never go out. For Isaiah says, his authority shall grow continually. He will establish it up and uphold it from this time onward and forevermore. As John said at the start of his gospel, the light comes into the world and shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. In the midst of a world that can seem so dark, we need to be reminded that God's light will shine forever in Jesus. That as dark as the night might be around us, God's light is even brighter, and God's light will carry on. This is the picture we have of heaven in the book of Revelation, that there is a city that has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. We're reminded that God shines light into our dark world, and that he promises us that heaven will be a place full of light, that the light will not be overcome by the darkness, but will shine forever. And that light is none other than Jesus, that babe that we celebrate, that we remember today. So tonight, in the midst of this dark night, we can remember that great light that God has sent into our world. That God in Christ replaces death with joy. That he brings deliverance in the face of oppression. Peace wherever we experience conflict. That even in the midst of the deepest darkness, God shines his light upon us through his Son, Jesus. I want you now to spend some time reflecting on this light that God has given us in Christ. I'm going to use this as a time of prayer, and there'll be a song to lead us through that, but I'm going to light the candle in a minute, and I invite you, if you'd like, to come forward and light a candle to offer that up along with your prayers. As we sit and reflect on the year that's been, on the ways that God has been with us, but more than that, the way that God is for us in Christ, and the way he brings light and life through his Son, whom we celebrate at this time, whose birth we celebrate at this time.